This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Sharp Money, VSiN, the sports betting network. On a Friday, we say hi to you. I'm Patrick Maher, live from Los Angeles. The big guy, Dustin Sweetelson, for a while, hanging out at the D in downtown Las Vegas. Look, I think the best way to approach today, we're going to go rotation number, and we're just going to run the week three preseason board, and we're going to do the work for you. Who's sitting? Who's resting? Obviously, who's playing in week three? Some surprises as to who's going to give it a go. So the way to attack these preseason games, obviously, we'll start with the quarterbacks, but we've got to run the board. So we're going to start Jacksonville, Atlanta, rotation number 109, get to Miami, Tampa Bay, 111, and onward. Three preseason games coming up tonight on a Friday, and then you've got eight coming up tomorrow to close out the preseason, of course, on, excuse me, we've got more on Sunday. You got three games as well, so that's good for the big guy.
Thank God.
Thank God. Thank God is right. Well, the big guy piping in early, which you love to hear. Okay, so we're going to run through that. But I did want to start right here, and we'll tell you what's coming up on Sharp Money. Let's go ahead and throw up the menu. We've got Kyle Hunter. Kyle Hunter is one of the best to do it when it comes to college football handicapping. So he's going to join and, of course, talk about that Florida State-Georgia Tech game that kicks off the season in Dublin. Shout to my ancestors. And right now, 10.5, essentially painted across the board. Remember, that opened 13.5. I said painted, but FanDuel and Jersey's up to 11.5. So let me pull back a little bit. I do think once you get the preponderance of public money, as that game draws closer, I think the number is going to jump up a little bit towards Florida State. So just a heads up there. SMU, Nevada, of course, Montana State, New Mexico. SMU, Nevada is a big topic of conversation amongst sharp bettors right now. We'll have Kyle Hunter on to discuss the big guy. We also have, looking forward to talking to our good buddy, Thomas Gable. He runs the race and sports book at the Borgata, the best property in Atlantic City. So TGZ is going to stop by. Trevor Maddich, your boy? How about that? Trevor Maddich joining us on the program today. And the superstar, Mike Somich, is going to stop by for the third hour. It's a Friday, baby. So we have, you know what we do? We have fun. And we have a row of heavy hitters with our family videos. What's the objective every day here on Sharp Money? We keep you in the moment. If there's live bullets, we got you covered. What's happening within every 20 minutes? We're going to update you. And then we hit you with picks on picks on picks. And that includes today, Aaron Halterman, Zachary Cohen, and Stuart Durst. That's a heavy hitter. That right there is a lineup. So Hunter, Gable, Maddich, Somich, Halterman, Cohen, Durst, Sweetelson, and Maher. Now, speaking of Dustin Sweetelson, I want to take a second, if you don't mind. I know you don't like praise. It generally embarrasses you. But I would like to take a second for a little Dustin appreciation. And we should start here. And most of the time, and I think most people that have been listening to Sharp Money, and we hear from you all the time via email, sharpmoney@vsin.com, just an outpouring of love. And we love you, too. What I would say about Dustin is he's become a very sharp bettor. And all you have to do is go check out the leaderboard over at VSiN.com to understand that. He's consistently amongst the top five. And that's what he does. But he is also somebody that I consider to be a specialist when it comes to the futures market. And I wanted to bring up Paul Skeens. So the question is, was Paul Skeens good yesterday against the Reds? Well, he was. Six innings pitch, gave up two hits, zippy earned and nine strikeouts, and he walked one batter. This guy is literally a modern day Koufax from the other angle. He is something. Like, if you want to use the comp of Strasburg, Strasburg was more hyped early on. Skeens, certainly number one overall pick, was a big prospect, but he wasn't a Strasburg prospect. But the start to his career, you could argue, already accelerated ahead of Strasburg, and that's saying something. Okay, now Strasburg, we understand the inverted dub as far as the delivery. He had issues with injuries. Now, he did win a championship. Career was fine. Got paid on the backside. Settled down, Dustin, kind of like a Kobe Bryant. The Nats hooked him up on the back end, even though the health wasn't necessarily assured. But Skeens, you know, the question of would he or wouldn't he continue? Well, I think that the Pirates, the Buccos, are going to handle this situation a la what Detroit's doing with Skubal, which is they'll just extend the rest over the next 5 weeks or so, but you're going to see Paul Skeens the rest of the year. That's my assumption. Why do I bring that up? Because the big conversation on the program yesterday, and this is where the big guy comes in, and this is why we congratulate him and with the futures market. The big conversation yesterday on the program was kind of unlocking the Skeens paradox, which is this. He's minus 4,200 on August 1st to win NL Rookie of the Year. Then all of a sudden yesterday, just a wild movement where he jumps to plus 140, and that's an important number here. He jumps to plus 140 and Jackson Merrill minus 150. So that is, you don't see market movement like that very often, and it was a topic of conversation on a betting network. Well, that brings us to today, and I do want to thank Bill AD. He was nice enough to send us over this email. So Bill sent an email from a loyal VSiN listener, and we always appreciate when Bill forwards these. And he said, okay, let me just make sure I get everybody in line here because I want to give credit. So Bill AD, the man of mystery, make sure to sign up for the daily newsletter. Always got our back here on Sharp Money. Sign up for the daily newsletter. All you have to do is enter your email address. So forwarded from Bill AD, and this was from Mark, okay? Where is Dustin finding plus 140 for Skeens as Rookie of the Year? Maybe minus 140? So that's where we start the program, and this is why it's important to pay attention to Sharp Money and Mr. Sweetelson. Heap you some praise, because you obviously just sent back receipts. And Dustin said, well, if he was paying attention to the show, here's a receipt. National League Rookie of the Year 2024, plus 140, Paul Skeens. So I want to give you some credit there. You did get the number yesterday. You can even give out the book. It's not a DraftKings property anymore. We can let them know where you found it.
It was at Boyd, and I just checked right as you were speaking. Boyd went from plus 140 at about 2:35 p.m. on the West Coast yesterday. It's now minus 150 on Paul Skeens. So, yes, Mark, you can get my plus 140 if you hop in your DeLorean, you set it to 85, and you get back to yesterday and make sure that you get that plus $1.40 and go back in time. That's the only way you're getting a plus price on Paul Skeens again. And that's kind of the lesson to be learned here in the futures market. If you see an opportunity that you're identifying, and I had said for weeks, if Paul Skeens gets back to plus money, I'm back in on him. And that's what happened, jumped in. Now you're laying a price. It's only going to get bigger. You all tried to create a narrative with Jackson Merrill. And the problem with that narrative is Jackson Merrill's not must-watch TV. Paul Skeens is. And that's why he's going to end up winning this award.
Okay. And you're missing out on the number. I'm going to do the math quickly. Minus 150, plus 140. Missing out on 90 cents. So that's just factual.
Also,
Again.
In the futures market, I don't mind shooting and missing because I'm shooting at plus prices all the time. I am never laying a price here. That's the best part about playing futures is that you can almost always get a plus price on the things you're looking for. Don't lay a big number here.
So, again, I know you're not comfortable with praise, but I did want to start there. And it's also a good lesson. And again, if you're new to sports betting, we constantly have to remind ourselves here on Visa not to talk over you. And a futures market, for example, would be the Heisman. And so we talked about it yesterday when we talked about maybe taking a shot. The favorite generally doesn't, before the season starts, win the Heisman. And so Dylan Gabriel and others, you may want to fade them and try to find a price. And while plus 140 may not necessarily blow you away, it will when you juxtapose it to one more solid start and it drops to minus 150. And that's the lesson.
Yeah, and it's just an opportunity. It was a great opportunity because I thought the narrative had no substance. The talking point that led to the number getting driven down there was that the Pirates were going to shut Paul Skeens down. Nothing they said or did led us to believe that that was definitively going to happen, right? And then the Pirates came out yesterday and said, we haven't discussed any of that, and the number just sat there staying the same at plus 140. At that point, I felt like I was missing out on an opportunity if we didn't hit that number.
Okay. Well, congratulations, and that was a good job by you getting out in front of it. Thank you again to Bill. Thank you again to Mark. And again, if you need to hit us up directly, you can find us, Sharp Money, for a while, sharpmoney@vsin.com. Okay, it is week three of the preseason, Dustin Sweetelson. So let's quickly recap what we saw last night, which barn burners, no doubt. You did see a couple of overs, so a little bit of a correction in the market, a market correction on all those unders that have been cashing in the preseason. The Bears beat the Chiefs. The Bears now 4-0 in the preseason. Let's go. The Bears beat the Chiefs 34-21, and what'd you see? You saw Rippon. You saw Reed, you saw a little bit of Bagent. However, you didn't see much from Kansas City. Now, they did put 21 points up on the board, but we told you, and this is what we're going to do today when we run the board. Important to understand, you're going to see a little bit of Oladokun. You're going to see a little bit of Ian Book. And no Carson Wentz, and no, of course, Patrick Mahomes. So that was important there. In the second one last night, the Colts, we handed that out yesterday, laid a price, 6.5. It's fine. They do cover easily, 27-14. And with the Colts now, the conversation's going to get fascinating. About, again, I'm not on the Colts this year, and it has to do with Richardson. A disgusting pick six, you know, 8 of 14, 86 yards. The average, not great. A little dink and dunk. But they did win, and you saw Bean, you saw Sam Ellinger, who's a good backup. And we told you, probably only going to see Logan Woodside with the backup injured there in Cincinnati, and he played the whole game. And he was 16 to 20. It was fine. But Cincinnati wrapped up everybody in bubble wrap. Interesting, because we had the insider there for the Colts on yesterday in Bremer. And he said, based on how Taylor was going to handle it, he was encouraged or interested to see then how Steichen would handle it. Steichen said, have fun with your backups. This team needs some work. And that's what they did. Let's get to work. Why not? We're going to run the week three preseason board on the other side with Dustin Sweetelson. And then again, jacked with great guests. Kyle Hunter, Thomas Gable, Trevor Maddich, and of course, Mike Somich. It's Sharp Money. Okay, Sharp Money, it's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, as we welcome you back. I hope you've had a nice week, and we get prepared for week three of the preseason. Got three games tonight, eight tomorrow, and then three to close out the preseason on Sunday. But more importantly, well, I wouldn't say more importantly for a better, but importantly is we have week zero of college football. Of course, the kickoff in Dublin, Ireland, some travel questions when it pertains to Florida State and Georgia Tech. Again, it got as low as 10 at DraftKings. Back up to 10.5 at DraftKings. FanDuel is showing 11.5 with Florida State laying it. Look, the two units, the best units on the field tomorrow in Dublin are going to be maybe the best defensive front in all of college football in Florida State, and then that Florida State offensive line. Issues last year as far as running the football for Florida State, that may change this year with more experience across the offensive front and the transfer from Alabama at running back. Georgia Tech returns eight starters on offense. They lost a lot on defense. It'll be interesting to see as the number, a 13.5 opener, pulled back Georgia Tech's way. I think, again, as you start to get some public money into the market tomorrow, I think we're going to see that game close at most shops closer to 11.5. We shall see. As we welcome you back, Dustin Sweetelson, I'm Patrick Maher. We got a packed show on a Friday, per usual. Of course, Somich is going to come up in the third hour. We'll get some horse racing in then, which I'm looking forward to. The Traverse Stakes tomorrow. I cannot freaking wait. Saratoga, Torpedo Anna taking on the big boys, including Dornock and Fierceness and Sierra Leone. That is a must. If you care anything about horse racing or competition, that is a must-watch race. Now, I wouldn't necessarily call the preseason must watch. I would say if you have the right angle, it's a must bet. Two overs yesterday. Let's talk about these games, and we'll run the board rotation-wise. 109, Jacksonville, Atlanta. So the number right now has ballooned up to, at the Westgate, they're showing 8. Most shops are showing Jacksonville at Atlanta, laying 7.5 and a 35.5 big guy on the total. So a couple things here, very important. Raheem Morris and the Atlanta Falcons. are going to continue to kind of err on the side of caution for this preseason tilt, and they're going to sit Kirk Cousins and Michael Penix Jr. I think there's more to the sitting Michael Penix Jr. conversation. I see you smiling, and yes, you know what I'm about to say. I'm not sure Cousins is good. So there's a reason they're also bubble wrapping Penix Jr., and the offense hasn't looked great even with Penix Jr. That's either here nor there. Now, as for Jacksonville, they're going to play Trevor Lawrence. He's going to get some run to start this game before handing the ball off to Mac Jones, which is, you know, a strong enough cast of signal callers, you would think. Now, the game itself, again, 7.5 all the way up to 8. A couple questions for Atlanta so far. Of course, a new offense there with two new signal callers. It has not been an impressive unit. And then the other side would be, you know, Atlanta's done a good job kind of fortifying that defensive front, but they do have a depth issue in the secondary. So that's where I'll start, but the quarterbacks are a good place, a big guy with this number, 7.5, 8, Jacksonville at Atlanta.
Yeah, and it will be a lot of Mac Jones whenever Trevor Lawrence ends up leaving the ball game because C.J. Beathard's injured, so they want to find out if Mac Jones can really be their backup here. Jacksonville's on a run, by the way. I don't know why not enough's being made of this. They were undefeated last year in the preseason, and they're 2-0 so far this preseason. We all lauded John Harbaugh and the Ravens for the run they went on, and that's kind of fallen apart. They've lost 6 straight now in pre. Jacksonville is on a bit of a tear. They've also scored 20 points in both of their preseason games in a preseason where we've had nothing but unders across the board. I really like backing Jacksonville in this one, even at the big number, because Atlanta's secondary, you mentioned, really depleted. The Ravens completed 84% of their passes against them last week, and the Falcons' offense, when Penix wasn't in, hasn't reached the red zone. So they've made 4 trips to the red zone in 2 games in drives, not including Michael Penix, and that means a lot of Taylor Heinicke. I would look at Jacksonville, especially in the first half, because they're going to end up coming out trying to get their starters some reps here, preparing for a meaningful regular season.
And the first half number, my assumption is it's close to 7. Is that what you have?
I have to pull that up.
It's okay. Take your time.
I would like the full game. It's 6.5. That's the problem here. I would lay the 6.5, though. It's under a touchdown. Falcons.
Yeah, 6.5, $1.25 first half is what I have.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. There it is. You know why that's such a big number with the road team, the Jags, at the Falcons. Rotation number 111, Miami is at Tampa Bay. We're going to go interstate with a rivalry. Now, I don't know what the road is. Maybe I-75. Goes right through the middle of the state. But if you're...
Yeah, I think so.
I think eventually you'd have to... I think you'd have to drive up I-75 to get to Raymond James. Let's go. Okay, so a couple of things here. Tua cooked last time out, 5 for 5 and a passing touchdown. I so far, White and Thompson have struggled, his backups. I'd be surprised if you saw Tua, and there's a reason why when it comes to the Dolphins tonight, because the wide receiver core is essentially the wide receivers for the Dolphins are all listed on the injured reserve. Well, the injured list, I should say. So that's an issue. As far as the Dolphins, so I think you're going to see a lot of White and Thompson with not a lot of weapons. The Dolphins will be running the football. Todd Bowles announced that we should expect to see the Bucs starters to play in this game for some amount of time. So that's the information we have right now. And they only scored 7 points last week. I wouldn't be shocked if you saw Baker for a series.
No, you're going to get Baker. I think we're going to get Baker for sure. He hasn't really seen action yet, so we'll get Baker Mayfield. Then in the second half, Kyle Trask, John Wolford, a quarterback for Tampa Bay. On the other side, we will see a few Miami starters. We just don't know who. Like, that's the problem. You mentioned all the receivers are banged up. We don't know on defense who's going to end up playing. But we should see this Miami offense that's going to be without Tua, with Mike White and Skylar Thompson, who've really struggled, take on the first team Tampa defense to start this one. So that first quarter is an interesting angle. But I like the full game under. I just think after Mayfield leaves the game, Tampa Bay won't be able to move the ball. Miami has nothing offensively so far this preseason, not involving Tua. Skylar Thompson's 41.7% completion rate. Mike White's at 44.1%. Like, they're not picking up chunk yardage here. I'll take under 37.5. It actually feels like a discount.
I'm going to get a little squirrely on this one. And because of Bowles' approach And I just think I think McDaniels is going to be very conservative. He did say some starters will play, like you said, that's quite nebulous.
Yeah, don't know who.
I'll lay the point and a half in the first quarter Tampa. With the Bucs.
Yeah, I don't hate that. That might be the better play.
San Francisco big guy is at Vegas. And we're big looking move. At a big number here.
Big move.
So, yeah, big move. You want to set it up?
Raiders open 3.5. It's now San Francisco 7.5, laying 7.5. Total went from 37.5 down to 32.5. I mean, that's just – it's crazy because the assumption was, before we got the news, that Aiden O'Connell would play for Vegas. Turns out he is not going to play along with most of the other starters for the Raiders. And the Raiders have actually lost 3 preseason games coming into this contest. So Bradley Carter, I don't know who he is. I don't know where he's from. And then Nathan Peterman, who the Vegas Raiders signed this week, will be your quarterbacks for the most part.
And keep thinking you can still lay 7.5 with the 49ers.
What is it now?
Because my screen is lighting up as we speak. It's all the way up to nine. Oh. DraftKings is the only shop right now showing 8.5 with the 49ers laying it at the Raiders. Everybody else, including FanDuel in Jersey, FanDuel's laying 9.5.
I'm not kidding. I wrote down 7.5. That was like 4 hours.
Hey,
that's crazy.
Safe space. I know you get upset when you get corrected. I'm not trying to correct you. I'm just literally giving you a safe space.
I'm not upset about being corrected. I'm shocked. I mean, I know San Francisco is going to play the starters at the beginning. I know Brock Purdy's going to play a lot early. But to go from 3.5 to 9 is an insane amount of movement.
Well, I think I'm glad you brought that up. And I think this is an important as far as new bettors, something to point out, you won't see, I can guarantee you this, for the rest of your life, in a regular season game, you'll never see a line flip like this.
No.
Guarantee it. Mark it down in stone. This is a preseason move.
But think about why it's happening. It's happening because the Raiders aren't playing anyone, but the Niners are. But how long are the Niners playing guys for? I know their offense has done nothing so far in the preseason. Like, they're relying on Cody Schrader out of Mizzou, who's averaging 2.1 yards per pop. They don't have much firepower behind their starters. But at best, these Niners starters are playing, what, a quarter and a half at the absolute most? I don't know why Kyle Shanahan would risk that, yet this number just keeps going up and up.
Well, because Kyle Shanahan is famous for his quote, "We're all going to die one day."
He's not wrong.
And also, no risk it, no biscuit. And secondly, it's because Antonio Pierce, this number's 9.5, because Antonio Pierce, new coach, got to give him some credit, you got to give him some leeway, but said, "We're doing everything in game 2. So just so everybody knows, here's my playbook.
It's true.
Minshew named the starter, Minshew on ice until he comes right down the road from here at SoFi to open up the regular season, taking on the Chargers. You understand? A little lightning bolt for the big guy, Mr. Futures. When we come back, 1:15 rotation, Rams, Texans. Okay, Sharp Money, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We have a packed show. We've got Kyle Hunter coming up in about 14 minutes, and we'll dive into, he's very good with the college football handicapping. Talk to Kyle and talk about week 0. Thomas Gable at the top of the hour, 29 minutes away, talking to the race and sports book director over at the Borgata. Trevor Maddich, of course, ESPN college football analyst. And then the final hour with our guy and professional handicapper, Mike Somich, also VSiN host. So looking forward to the lineup, and we're lining them up as far as rotation number. Thought it was important today to give you an idea of what to expect in week 3 of the preseason. So we did the work for you. Who's resting? Who's playing? How are these teams approaching week 3, which is very interesting. So for example, 1:15 rotation, the Rams at the Texans tomorrow, big guy. And again, I am not saying that Sean McVay doesn't take the preseason seriously. I'm just saying he doesn't coach the team. So you take it for what it is. Now, Stetson Bennett did see all of the action the entire game last week against, I believe it was the Cowboys, 17 of 31, 213, 1 touchdown, 1 pick. Running game was also good against the Cowboys, and they beat him up 13-12. I use that loosely with a nice little under there. The Texans have played well. And right now, the number on the Texans is four, mostly fours. DraftKings is interesting. DraftKings is the one book that seems to be, although DraftKings and FanDuel line up here, the Westgate showing four, DraftKings and FanDuel are 3.5 with the Texans laying it hosting the Rams. Now, the Texans, as far as the Texans, look, they have maybe the best quarterback room. You can push back on me if you'd like, big guy, in all of football. I think this is going to be a good defensive battle. I don't think the coaches are looking for much. Let's take a look at the total. Yeah, 33 is the lowest I see. You can find a 34.5 over at FanDuel. I'm going to go under with the Rams at the Texans.
I totally agree. This, to me, is one of the easiest games on the entire board this week. You mentioned it. The Rams don't care about the preseason. They'll run the ball a ton. They're really good at finding running backs, too. So that's probably the only thing that they use this time of year for under Sean McVay. They beat Dallas 13-12. They beat the Chargers 13-9. You mentioned Stetson Bennett. He's going to run around and make plays with his legs, but he's not a consistent thrower of the football. And on the other side, this is the biggest reason why the under is the play for me in this one. Texans are 2-1 on the preseason. We're in week 3. I'm going to say that again. They've already played 3 games, and we're in week 3. They played the Hall of Fame game.
That math ain't mathing.
Yeah. They played in the Hall of Fame game. They want to get out of this thing without any injuries. They've settled all their debates. All the battles are done for Houston. This is about just getting in, getting out, moving on to the goal at hand, and that's contending in the AFC. I love the under in this one because you said it. McVay doesn't mess around with this time of year, and the Texans need to get out of here unscathed. There's not going to be a lot of action.
Totally agree. 34.5, you can still find it. Go under Rams, Texans. 117 rotation, Baltimore at Green Bay. So this one's interesting. All we do is discuss this John Harbaugh record in the preseason. While everybody's zigging, he's zagging. Well, he decided to play it a little differently this year. The Baltimore Ravens have not played any of their starters in the preseason this year for the most part, and that is going to continue on Saturday. So that means you're going to see Josh Johnson will likely get the start, and then you're going to have rookies Devin Leary and Emory Jones kind of finishing things up for the Ravens, big guy. The Green Bay Packers, conversely, they played their starters in the first week of the preseason, easily drove down for a touchdown, and then Coach Matt LaFleur was like, we good, we're not going to play anybody, didn't play anybody in the second Saturday. So, again, this is another one. I hate to make it boring. We're looking right now, Green Bay laying 3. Now, if you want to delay it with Green Bay, you can find a 2.5 in the market. For example, Westgate showing 3, FanDuel showing 2.5 with Green Bay laying it. I'll go right back to a total, 33.5. I'm going under with the Ravens and Packers.
Yeah, I think this is pretty consistent with where I've been at with the preseason this year. The under makes sense because these teams don't want this anymore. They don't want to go through this anymore. They don't want to have to risk anyone. And Baltimore is the prime example of that. For years, they dominated the preseason. Now they've lost 6 consecutive preseason contests. John Harbaugh is realizing that wasting energy and resources to be competitive this time of year is not helping them on the back end of their schedule get over that hump in the postseason. So to me, I think the under has to be the play at 33.5. That feels a little bit lofty when you look at Green Bay as well. Green Bay is not going to use Jordan Love. They have a lot of young guys in that offense. They're not going to risk losing to injury. And they beat Cleveland week 1 23-10. Last week, they did nothing on offense against Denver. I think that's going to continue. Nothing coming out of the Green Bay offense. The Ravens are just going through the motions trying to get through it. The under 33.5. And it feels square, right? Because the trend is the unders are hitting this preseason. But I'm not going against it until proven otherwise.
Yep, both on the under in Baltimore, Green Bay. Next one up, rotation, 119. Carolina is at Buffalo. And Carolina's laying 4.5. Wow, total of 30.5. Now you can find 31.5, but it's a low total. There's no surprise here. So a couple of things about the Panthers and Canales. So heading into this game, Canales confirmed that the Panthers starters on both offense and defense will be getting some playing time on Saturday. However, we've yet to see year 2 starter Bryce Young in either preseason game so far. Frankly, I don't think we've seen Andy Dalton either. We've seen Jack Plummer and Jake Luton.
He's
Luton,
hurt.
Your boy, Oregon State. Is he out?
He's hurt. Yep.
Luton's out? Okay. Did you see a quote from Canales as to why he hasn't used the quarterbacks?
He's going to, though.
Young's playing?
I believe Bryce Young is playing is what I read. Hang on.
Okay, so I'm getting
Bryce Young will
here.
Play. Jake Luton is injured. Jack Plummer will end up playing a lot down the stretch.
And that's why you are seeing right now Carolina favored 4.5. Thank you on the Bryce Young fix. I didn't have that. Meanwhile, as far as Sean McDermott, he said we're not going to see the Bills starters. And it's ironic? I guess not ironic, but... You know, the Bills losing Matt Milano, he's not just a captain of the defense. He's a very good linebacker. It's weird how, and I don't know what McDermott would have done, but it does seem like oftentimes the coaches are walking a ledge of, yeah, we're going to play our starters. Then they lose a starter and they're like, you know what? We're going to wrap everybody up and just wait for the regular season. It's like that philosophy shouldn't change. It's almost like cost benefit. Or just the idea of probability, like the probability if you're playing starters that somebody could get injured and then all of a sudden to shut them down. Why does that change your philosophy? You understand where I'm going with that?
Yeah, I think some of these people have the mindset of, well, if an injury is going to happen, it's going to happen. And that's just not how it works. You can actually control when it happened. And there's a big difference if Matt Milano's lost for the year in the preseason or he's lost for the year in week six. So if you think the physical game of football, there will be injuries at some point. Why would you just not prevent them at all from messing up the start to your season? For Buffalo, Mitch Trubisky's injured as well. So I don't believe he's going to play. He moved the ball. So get ready for a healthy dose of Ben DiNucci. Ben DiNucci got robbed, by the way. Tommy DeVito and his family started this thing. Ben DiNucci was before Tommy DeVito. He could have started this too. So big issue there. Anthony Brown, who was just signed, expected to play quarterback as well. The Bills, the one positive of this preseason, they think they found something in Ray Davis out of Kentucky. Ray Davis, 58 yards last game. I think with Carolina playing the starters, you have to look to them. But in this version of the preseason, in these low-scoring games, 4.5 feels like laying a touchdown right now.
It does. I have a question for you because I just tried to do it and I realized I'm just an Irish donk trying to be Italian because when I did the Ben DiNucci thing, I did it sideways, make a ton of sense. I think you got to go straight up and down, north and south. What is this called? Is this called capiche?
I don't know. I don't know if there's a name for it. I just know it's an Italian-American thing when people talk with their hands. I was doing the Manziel money. I was doing that, I realized.
Look, I don't think I'm Italian, although I think my mom said her family's from Sardinia.
You're not hairy enough.
Well, I wish I had some chest hair. Be money. Here's what I will say.
You don't. Mine's turning gray. It's very scary.
Here's what I will say. When you think of Italy, you think of a lot of things, but you sleep on one product in particular, which I use copious amounts of.
Out of Italy?
Yes.
Is it olive oil?
The Italians, they're known for olive oil, and your boy is thankful.
Oh, it is. It is. What a guess by me.
Well, no, you have to play the game where you ruin everything.
No, I thought you were going to say something cooler, to be honest. I thought that was a pretty basic answer.
It's like doing a top 10 list and starting with one.
That wasn't me. For being clear. Just want to be clear. That was not me for those wondering.
Good feel. Good broadcasting feel. All right, we'll continue. We're going to take a little break on running the Week 3 preseason board because when we return, we've got college football to talk about. And these are real bullets.
It counts.
Week 0 is upon us. Our buddy Kyle Hunter, this is what he does. He bets on college football. And he's going to be joining us next right here on Sharp Money. It is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Capisce? Okay, Sharp Money, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Of course, Week 0 underway tomorrow. We'll start off in Dublin with Florida State, Georgia Tech in conference. It is college football season. That means it's Kyle Hunter season. I've been following Kyle for a long time. He's one of the best to do it when it comes to college football handicapping. You can find Kyle on Twitter at Kyle Hunter Picks, and also check out huntersportspicks.com. He's very sharp with the college football. Progressive Guest Line brings you Kyle. Kyle, nice to speak with you. I just gas him up a little bit here. The win totals, which we're going to get to towards the end of this segment, he has been killing it the last couple of years. 12-3 in 22 on season win totals, 12-4-1 last year. So a combined 24-7-1 the last 2 years combined. Not bad. Okay, Kyle, let's start here. And I know you have a prop in Florida State, Georgia Tech, but let's just talk overview on the game, because it's kind of interesting movement here, right? We open, you know, most shops 13.5 with Florida State. We got as low a couple of days ago over at DraftKings at 10 with Florida State laying it. Now they're back to 10.5, and I see as high as 11.5. Any surprise here, Kyle, just to start with the line movement, Florida State and Georgia Tech?
I don't think there's any big surprises here on the line movement. I think that there are enough unknowns about Florida State that some people are just taking a chance here on the underdog. I think with DJU taking over, it's clearly a downgrade from Jordan Travis, but how big is the downgrade? I think that remains to be seen. I don't know that he has the playmaking ability that Travis did, but I think that FSU, so good in the trenches, that they're going to be able to run on a lot of teams. And the Georgia Tech defensive line is a major problem. They're very strong in the offensive line. Their defensive line is a major weakness. The linebackers are a weakness. I think Florida State runs the ball on them very well here. Boydale Williams should have a big game. On the other side, Haynes King, he's done well in this offense, and I think Faulkner is a really good offensive coordinator. So they can probably score some points here too. King does turn it over too much. He had an 86.4 PFF grade when kept clean last year and 44.1 PFF grade under pressure. So that could be key in this one. Obviously, this one being in Ireland, the weather changes pretty quickly here, but I see 16 miles per hour winds with gusts to about 25 miles per hour. Might make the play calling a little bit more conservative in this one. I think that could play a role in the number coming down a little bit here, too.
Yeah, I agree. I think you're going to see both teams try to establish the run. You've got a prop, Florida State, Georgia Tech. What are you taking here, Kyle?
Yeah, I like Roydale Williams over rushing yards here in this one. I think Williams has a big game. It's a good spot for him with a really good offensive line in front of him. And I think if you're Florida State, why would you take too many chances here with DJU? I think you can establish the run, keep running the football, don't show too much to future opponents. I think that's the way they go here in this one.
Okay. Running back, I believe transferred from Bama on the over rush prop there from Kyle Hunter. Let's go SMU Nevada. Of course, going to be a long year for Nevada, though. SMU, a lot of hype on this team. They are all the way up 26.5 in Reno, 55.5 on the total. You're not going to mess with the side or total on this one, Kyle, but you do have a prop, SMU Nevada.
Yeah, I like SMU as a team quite a bit. I think it's going to be interesting to see how they do stepping up in class, the ACC this year. We're not really going to find out in this game. This game is not going to tell us if anything about how they'll look the rest of the season, I don't think, because Nevada is that weak. The thing about this game is SMU has no look-ahead spot here. They play Houston Christian next week. So really nothing to look forward to the next week that would make them overlook this game. I think SMU is a deep team, really good backfield runners. The wide receivers are excellent, maybe the best in the ACC already. The linebackers for SMU, Wilson and Walker, really good leaders. I don't think Nevada can test them. And I think Nevada made a good hire, but I just think they don't have enough talent to hang around with quality teams. What's going to be their identity? They've got Chuba Purdy is still hurt. Lewis is still their quarterback. He has not been good at all. In Nevada, Davis Mallinger was probably going to be the best defender for Nevada. He got arrested and is out. Leduc at linebacker retired from football because of medical reasons. They were really already short on talent. So what I like here is I like SMU team total over. I took over 8.5 in the first quarter and over 21 in the first half. I would like as well if you can get that number. I see 21.5 quite a few spots. 21 will probably be a little bit of extra juice, but I do like SMU team total over. Like I said, I bet over 8.5 in the first quarter.
College football handicapper, one of the best, Kyle Hunter, joining us here on Sharp Money, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Okay, So you've had a nice little run here with the futures and the season win totals. Let's keep it going. Let's go 4-0. 24-7-1 the last 2 years. Congratulations on that. And we'll start with an under. Arizona State under Kyle 4.5 wins.
Yeah, I have to take under 4.5 here. I think they're a double-digit dog in five games. Those are games that I think they have very little chance in. Only favored by more than a field goal once all year in my numbers. I don't think they can pull off enough upsets to get to five. Dillingham really up against it. Don't really have the talent they need at the skill positions on offense. And although I think the defense will play hard, I think they're just up against a really tough conference schedule here. Have to take Arizona State under 4.5.
Beautiful. Let's go with another under. ODU, Old Dominion under, also 4.5 wins.
Yeah, so this one a little bit more under the radar. I think they were really extremely fortunate to get to 6 wins last year. Like, I mean, all 6 wins came in the final couple minutes of the game. They beat Texas A&M Commerce by 1 point because of a missed 2-point conversion. They were down 10 points to Georgia State late in the fourth before they blocked a field goal, got a safety, fourth and goal touchdown, one of the craziest wins of the entire season. But this is still a team that allowed 61 sacks last year. I think about as bad of an offensive line as you'll ever see. They'll be underdogs of a touchdown or more in 7 games. I don't think they'll be favored by more than a point or two in a single game all year. I really don't think this team can get to 5 wins. The schedule is much tougher than it was last year, and they weren't as good as their record indicated last season.
Beautiful. Arizona State ODU under 4.5 wins. Got a couple of overs with Kyle Hunter. And we'll start with East Carolina over 6 wins, Kyle.
Yeah, let's go to the oversight here with East Carolina. I know the team went 2-10 last year. A much, much easier schedule this year. One of the easiest in the country. A new pass-heavy offense with a new offensive coordinator. Arguably the best run defense in the conference, too. I still think that Houston is a good coach, too. I'm not going to let one bad season make me think too much lower of him. I think they'll be favored in 8 games. Possibly 7 this year. You get that flat 6 on East Carolina, I have to take the over here.
All right, so Dustin was saying he's in on Sam Houston with you as well. We're going to go a little under the radar with Sam Houston and over 4.5 wins.
Absolutely. I think we're going way under the radar here, Patrick. Sam Houston, really very close in many of their losses last year. And I know that if you just look at the team in the first 5 or 6 games last year, you'd think, why would you want to bet a season win total over? But in the last 6 games, they were 3-3. They lost 21-16 to the powerful Liberty team. They were throwing the football in the end zone, had a very real chance to win that game. I think they were just so much more competitive at the end of last year. And Conference USA, the weakest of all the conferences, that gives a team who kind of finished a little below the middle of the conference a real chance to make a jump without getting a lot better. I think they get some better here, favored in 5 or 6 games, only be an underdog of more than 10 points 3 times this year. Definitely capable of pulling a couple upsets. I think Sam Houston over 4.5 is a good bet here.
Beautiful. We have 2 minutes left, so I just want to ask you randomly. The more I dig into Ole Miss, Kyle, they're freaking loaded. But I doubt Kiffin. Where are you on Ole Miss this year?
I mean, it's really set up very well for Ole Miss. This is their chance to make a playoff. I haven't bet anything on this. I would lean toward them making it, but Ole Miss is inconsistent enough that it kind of gives me pause. So I'm kind of in a similar place as you where it looks like it should be there for them. Is it going to surprise me if they don't make it? Not really, but they should.
Yeah, I think Lane is a good promoter and he's brought a lot of money into the program. I've just been over his career underwhelmed as a head coach. Kyle, I said it, but you are one of the best when it comes to college football handicapping. So we look forward to talking to you throughout the year. You can find Kyle on Twitter at KyleHunterPicks and check out the website, huntersportspicks.com, for your college football needs. Thank you, Kyle. Great job.
Thanks a lot. Have a good weekend.
You too, buddy. Appreciate that. Sharp dude, Progressive Guest Line brought you Kyle Hunter. I'll run through them again, but they're going to be up on the website. So Arizona State under 4.5, ODU under 4.5, East Carolina, a little pirate love, over 6, and Sam Houston over 4.5, which, you know, the big guy does this oftentimes with guests where he tries to like say, hey, I want to relate to this person. So during the break, he's like, I'm so happy you're on Sam Houston. So am I. and I have to sit there all awkwardly.
Yeah, I also had to do that because he was going to be on hold for 3 minutes. I had to make conversation. I didn't want to keep him sitting there in silence.
Well, I don't talk to guests because I want it to be spontaneous.
I'm not
the air.
Blaming you. I'm just saying. I
felt like a little
silence.
Blame. I felt like a little projection.
Nope.
Thomas Gable's next.